You are listening to Punk News Podcast 630. This is a sprint shorty attack because M and I are busy people. M, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a busy person are you?
Ooh, 11. I never stop. 11. Even in my sleep, I'm busy doing stuff.
What are you particularly busy with right now?
There's a big secret that I'm hoping will be able to be able to be told in May. And yeah, preparing for some...
Do I know what the secret is? Is this something we were talking about earlier? Or is this,
this is new.
Is it in the punk news world or is it outside of the punk news world?
Outside.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, there's some happening.
Very
so
interesting.
We will see how that pans out. I don't have a release like schedule yet, but like I'm pretty stoked. And yeah, getting brushing up on my French because heading to Quebec soon. So that's pretty exciting. I've never been there. I mean, I've been there. So like you go over the bridge on a school trip to Ottawa to go to like the Natural History Museum, which is in Quebec. So like you go over there and that's fun. And then you come back and you don't really like hang around there very much. My parents and I, we went on a trip to Ottawa once, went over the bridge, went to the museum because they hadn't been to the museum. Then we got turned around and there were like, I don't even know how many roundabouts. There were like 5 roundabouts. It was something else. But anyway, yeah, excited to go up and really experience it. So hopefully I don't offend anyone. Hopefully my French is decent. I think it is.
Oui, oui.
We'll see.
Me llamo M. ¿Cómo estás? Okay, well, let's see here. We're going to run through some stories pretty quickly. The Dead Milkmen, they've announced their first album in, I don't know, about 7 or 8 years. Let me take a look here. Well, I really should have. M takes notes before, and I just totally wing it. And I'm like, first Dead Milkmen album in 9 years. Wow. I didn't know it was that long. Ooh. Wow. First Dead Milkmen, of course, the last one was Predict for Pretty Special People back in 2000. No, actually, that was the LP version. The regular version was Pretty Music for Pretty People back in 2014. Did not realize that it was 9 years. Wowie zowie. Oh, but well, they did put out the EP not that long ago. The EP came out, Welcome to the End of the World came out 6 years ago, and their single came out 2 years ago, We Don't Need This Fascist Groove Thing, which was pretty cool. And that's great. So Dead Milkmen are putting out their first album in a long time. It is called Quaker City Diet Pills. No, Quaker City Quiet Pills. And it's out being the Giving Grove / MVD. Of course, Giving Grove is the company that's put out their past few things where all the profits of the label go to music education programs and stuff like that. And MVD, of course, is one of the bigger independent music distributors in North America. They released a single. The single is called Grandpa's Not a Racist. He Just Voted for One. And it very much does sound like classic Dead Milkmen. Emor, are you excited for this? Did you dig the single? And Dead Milkmen are back again. Will they announce some shows? I hope so. They really only do like 3 or 4 shows a year these days, so I hope they announce some shows for this album. The album's actually coming out pretty soon. It's coming out like June.
Yeah, June 9th.
It's April, May, June. 2 months. 2 months. Less than 2 months. That's pretty soon. I ordered my record online. And more, what'd you think of this track and the new album by the Dead Milkmen?
I'm excited for the new Dead Milkmen album. I didn't know it was it had been 9 years. Like, that's pretty nuts. Like, for the full album, I guess. Like, obviously, they've released other stuff. But, you know, that's pretty cool. But yeah, Grandpa's Not a Racist, He Just Voted for One. It's great because it's like, it's cutting and it's like funny and it's like, you know, somebody like this, you know, and you're making excuses for somebody that you shouldn't be making excuses for and whatever. So I did like it. I thought it was good.
Well, I dig it as well. Dean Clean, the drummer, mentioned how he tried to drum like old Milkmen tracks. I think it sounds like a classic Milkmen track. It's got that classic Dead Milkmen humor in it, but it also has some content behind it. I think it sounds good. I think the new album's going to be real cool. And tell us about Pony. I can't because the video has been deleted. What do you think of that?
Why has the video been deleted?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, no. We have an issue. We have a problem.
Delete it. Is Pony an M more band?
I do enjoy Pony. I think they're cool. So I would say they are an M more band. They are one that I listen to. They are one that I like. So they're on the radar. Yeah, they're in the pyramid. But yeah, they're out of Toronto and they are a grunge pop duo right now. They're made up of Sam Belansky and Maddie Morand, and they've just released their new song Sucker Punch. So this is their fifth single from their upcoming album, which is called Velveteen, and that's coming out in May, I think. But anyway, like, I love Sam's voice so much because, like, what they can do is, like, get very powerful and then get very, like, soft, but keep that power in the softness, but also have, like, this vulnerability kind of vibe. I don't know. It's just, it's really cool. I love when vocalists do things that make you feel things instead of just kind of, like, going through the motions. And that's something I get with, like, Pony for sure, is like you listen to it and each of their songs has like a slightly different feel to it, a slightly different like story that they're telling and everything. And this one by far is my favorite out of the singles they've released so far for this album, because like it's super catchy, like it's, but it still has like punch, like it still has bite to it, kind of like woven throughout. They did a couple of shows where they opened for Fucked Up, and those would have been so cool to see, like super cool. I think they're opening for Superhaven on their a couple US dates coming up, so that's pretty cool too. But I'm excited for this album. John, what did you think of Pony, or did you get to listen to it before it got deleted?
I couldn't listen to it because it was deleted. I think nothing of Pony. I haven't heard it, but I will search it out.
No.
I'm gonna pull an Audible here. Dead Wait. Kennedys are going on tour, or I should say Dead Kennedys in quotation marks. Of course, sadly, D.H. Peligro died a little while ago. So now Dead Kennedys are going on tour with Skip McSkipster on vocals, East Bay Ray and Klaus Fluoride on guitar and bass, and new drummer Santi Guardiola. It's unclear if Santi is going to be their permanent drummer or is just kind of filling in. And is this even Dead Kennedys at all? Because it's really just East Bay Ray and Klaus. Is that Dead Kennedys at all in any context?
I don't think so. Like,
correct. The answer is without Jello, it's not Dead Kennedys. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Em.
Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say is like they obviously played a big part in the band, but it's you're not. I don't know. Yeah, you're missing an ingredient. Let's say.
Well, there we have it. I just had to take a shot at poor. Klaus and East Bay Ray. Meanwhile, PIL, Public Image Limited, is releasing a new album. It's called End of the World on August 11th. It's dedicated to John Lydon's wife, Nora Foster, who sadly passed away, I don't know, maybe a week ago or so?
Yeah.
April 5th, so just about a week ago. You know, a lot of people have a lot of different feelings with regards to Lydon because he's one of the most important figures in punk rock. Even if you don't like him, you can't disagree with the fact that he's one of the most important figures in punk rock. Also, he did take care of Nora quite personally and didn't abandon her. He put Pill on hold multiple times due to Nora's health. But on the other hand, he wore a Trump shirt and said, and everyone thought he was being ironic. And he's like, no, actually, I like Trump, but I think he's cool. So what do we do with John Lydon in 2023, Em? He is such a walking contradiction, if you will.
Hey, it's a Green Day song.
Walking Contradiction is?
Yeah.
I did not know that. There you go. Call back to our last episode with JT.
Hawthorne Heights. A fellow Green Day fan. Yes, so this is what I'm having so much trouble with because, like, again, we've talked about him on the podcast in different situations, right? Like, and it's, yeah, he is extremely influential. Like, you can't have a discussion about punk music and not include him. Like, you know, that that's a big thing, right? He's
what if someone came up to me, he's like, hey John, what do you think of the new Zulu track? And I was like, well, it all goes back to John Lyon. so you can have a discussion without mentioning it, but I get the point of what you're saying.
That would be so funny. Just like, yeah, what do you think of this new saw for anything? It all started with, yeah, you see, this is influenced by that. Oh my god, that'd be so funny. But I mean, yeah, like the history of punk and stuff, like without mentioning him. And he's the soundtrack of like so many people's like youths and stuff, because I know like he is mine. And that was a huge turning point, like listening to the Sex Pistols for the first time and everything that way, you know, and moving forward with discovering the history of punk music and older punk bands and then, you know, building from there. So the Trump thing was horrible, because it was like, you're somebody who like your whole life has been very against like hate and stuff, right? Like you've spoken out about things and you've been very vocal about like policies that were passed in the UK and different things. So to turn around and support somebody who is doing that but worse, you know, who is not to over exaggerate things, but I think it's like warranted, who is like one of the personifications of like true hatred, you know, like that just doesn't sit right with me. It sucks now, because like when I think of John Lydon in any iteration, right, that's one of the first things I think of. And I feel strange listening to this song now or whatever, because of this, because I took it one way, but did you mean it this way? And, you know, like there's so many kind of conflicting things. And I don't think that's something that can be forgiven, because it killed people. Like, you know, like you supported somebody who enacted policies that hurt and killed innocent people. Like that's the end all be all. And that you can't wash your hands of that no matter what. So, you know, his wife passing like that is obviously extremely sad, and they were together for like over 40 years, and you know, obviously so in love and so devoted to each other. You know, that really sucks. And to continue on with like the album release, like I think the quote was like, she loved the album and wanted it out too, kind of thing. So there's just like, there's so many conflicting emotions and so many conflicting like personal viewpoints of him, you know what I mean? So I don't know, like there's things that you can't dismiss, obviously, for good and for bad. So it's just reckoning with it, right? That's the big thing. Because if you give money, like if you buy like this record, where is the money going? Like, is it going to be going to like a Trump thing? Is it going to be going to, you know, something like that? Or is it just going to be going to like medical costs and personal use? Like, there's just so many things. What's your take on John Lydon 2023?
Well, I will answer that question, but before I answer that, you said that Trump is the personification of hatred. I actually would not agree with that. I'm not defending Trump. I would say that Trump is the personification of spinelessness and shameless self-preservation and greed. Because, like, look at it. If you take a KKK guy's bad, right?
Yeah.
But if you ask a KKK guy to do a deal with a black guy, he might not do it. You know what I mean? Trump will do a deal with anybody, and he has no principles whatsoever. He goes whatever way the wind blows. One minute he's super religious, another minute he's talking about banging hookers and stuff. So and another minute he's like, yeah, let's go to war. Another minute he's like, I would get out of the like he stands for absolutely nothing. And so I wouldn't say he's hatred. I would say he's the personification of greed and spinelessness and just non-accountability, if you will. I don't know which is worse, to tell you the truth, you know. So at any rate, I was just thinking, as you mentioned that, as to John Lydon, what a sticky wicket. First of all, I will say I think Lydon's an amazing artist, and also I find it interesting, although maybe in retrospect not surprising, at how sensitive of a person he is. Maybe because the Sex Pistols were painted as dolts and jerks to begin with, you don't expect Lydon to be such a sensitive and loving companion to someone, you know. But actually, it makes sense when you really think about it, you know. So I'm always interested and fascinated by that side. As biting and as sharp and sometimes as mean as Lydon can be, he's a very, really sensitive and caring person, you know, at least in his private life. Right. As to the Trump thing, it's totally lame. It's totally a letdown. And the one thing, if, you know, when Trump first appeared, I can understand maybe Lydon saying, well, he's a businessman, he gets things done, or he's the destruction of society, and that's what I want. But then after Trump was president and just did horrible things that actually amounted to nothing presidential-wise, he still supported him. I mean, like, he's clearly corrupt. Like, your whole big thing is you are against corruption, and Trump is the most corrupt guy there is. So it's like what's going through your mind? I would like to know what's going through his mind. And is it that he's just backed himself into a corner? Is it that he's just so used to being counter to anything? He's just kind of, you know, jumped the track and can't come back. I don't know. That being said, so I think it's lame. I don't hate Lydon. I would love to interview him, and I would love to say I think it's not cool supporting Trump or whatever that idea is. But you know, he's a very erratic. I think. And honestly, it'd be a lot easier if it wasn't Trump, but it was any other Republican. If it was like Bush or Reagan, who maybe you don't like them, but they're not as bad as Trump or as erratic or as greedy or as corrupt as Trump. You know what I mean? So that it's like the next, like Trump was explicitly racist, explicitly racist. So it's like, damn, dude. So what I would say is, despite all that, I mean, I'm still a fan of Lydon's music. I think as a one-on-one person, he might be an all right guy. I think he's made a big misstep with regards to the Trump thing. And I do think it's kind of taming him and really was a real misstep strategy-wise. And I think he could have had a pure legacy, even though they did think that he did things or said things or maybe to get people didn't like. He was always Lydon, but the Trump thing is so much out of character. It really does kind of stay in the legacy. So that being said, I'm going to get the album. I would definitely go see Pill live again. I like Lydon as an artist. As a one-on-one person, he might be all right. I don't know one-on-one. But, you know, a lot of times our artists are wacky people. They say wacky things. And just because and if someone says, no, John, Trump is a step too far, I wouldn't argue with you. I would say, yeah, I get it. But for me, he's such a seminal figure. I mean, he actually hasn't said anything racist, but he's in support of someone that's racist, you know? So that's kind of almost as bad, you know what I mean?
He's
such a seminal artist that I'm not going to go to bat for him, but I'm still going to be a fan of the music and even of the artist as a person, not as a moral compass, but as an interesting creature. Yeah, man, it's a bummer, and I don't know, maybe he can come back. I will say, man, I'm back. I cut out. And
hello. Welcome. Oh, you're frozen again. You're back. Are you back? Nope. You're frozen again. Yep.
All I'm back. Emma, was the last thing you heard me say?
You're talking about John Lydon as an interesting person, but not as a moral compass. Enjoying the work. Yeah.
Oh, I think I was blabbering for about 5 minutes after that. Anyway, the point being is,
oh no,
it is a sticky question because I'm always beating up on poor Joe Strummer.
Wait, are you recording?
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Yes, I'm good call. I'm always beating up on poor Joe Strummer, but Joe Strummer, while his wife was giving birth in England, he was banging chicks all around Spain. So who's worse? I don't know, man. The guy that in his personal life is kind of lame, or the guy that is a very devoted husband but then supports Trump. I don't know, man. It's not as simple as people say. That being said, if Lydon came out and said, I hate black people, which I don't think he would, but if he did say that, then I'd have to cut the rope. So I guess for me, he's got a few free passes left, but not many. I think it's lame supporting Trump, but he's just a great artist that he barely squeaks by. But, you know, if you said to me, John, I think Trump is lame. I mean, I think, well, of course, Trump is lame. If you said to me, I think Lydon is lame and he's a jerk, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you. Here's a band that's not a jerk. Snooper. Emmore, tell us about Snooper, a band that I have been pitching for a while and now is signed to Third Man Records, Jack White's label. Tell us about Snooper.
Woo! Yeah, we talked about them on a previous podcast, and then it was like, oh my God, I better check them out. So I did. And they're really cool. So yeah, they're from Nashville. They do like punk that is mixed with like noise and like grunge and stuff, but like not.
I get like a new wave vibe. Interesting.
Well, because like some of the stuff, it depends how it leans, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I could definitely see new wave in with them, but they announced their debut album called Super Snooper, and they have little waves on top of the O's. I don't know what they're called. What are they called? The little waves on top of the O's.
Umlauts, but that goes over top of a U, not an O. I don't know what it's called over an O.
Well, those little things, which look cool. In July on, like I said, Third Man Records, which is pretty cool. Like, Third Man Records is doing some, like, really neat, like, punk stuff lately.
Third Man Records, like, I'm not even a huge White Stripes fan, but they do a lot of cool stuff, man. Like, the Sleepery Issues, Snooper. Let me look up. Like, they actually did some cool Johnny Cash records. I mean, like, I gotta say, man, like, you can't argue with Third Man Records. It's an independent label that presses records in America, unlike another record label that's the quote working class label, which is why they shipped all their labor overseas. Third Man is just a cool label. They do lots of cool stuff. Go ahead, Emma. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, they're really neat.
James Brown, Sleep. Let's see what else here. Bunch of cool stuff, man. The Sleep stuff that Third Man put out was real cool. Let's see here. All I'm seeing is Jack White. Somebody uploaded like a billion Jack White things. Yeah, I get it. Jack White, but let's have what else?
But like other
Paranoids.
Things. Yeah.
There are other things on Third Man. They did a Nobody record way back in the day. They did a Melvins record. They did a Fucked Up record. Third Man is just cool.
They're so cool.
Bob Dylan. Anyways, let's do one more story. The final story is... good story. Not a whole lot to talk about. Cro-Mags, Harley Flanagan. They're going on tour in July and they're doing all the Best Wishes. It is the follow-up to Age of Quarrel. Everyone agrees Age of Quarrel is great. Best Wishes is more of a split decision album. I don't know, Emmore, would you go see Cro-Mags do Best Wishes?
I wouldn't. Like, it would be neat because it's like a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing, but Cro-Mags are a band I have to be in their, like, a zone to listen to them, and if I'm not in the zone, then they just don't hit right. You know, I have a Cro-Mags mood and then I have a non-Cro-Mags mood, so it'd have to be like
what albums have you listened to Cro-Mags wise? Have you heard Age of Quarrel?
Yeah, like I've heard Age of Quarrel. I've heard like,
you like it?
I don't mind it. Like, that's the thing. I have to be in, like, the right mood to listen to it. Like, do you have bands like that where it's, I enjoy this band, but only at certain times?
It's tough for me to say because I actually do love Cro-Mags, and actually I really love the Harley Flanagan current Cro-Mags. And the problem with Best Wishes is it was recorded in the 80s, and they sort of tried to make it a thrash album, but it's sort of a thrash album, and it really suffered because of 80s production. Live, these songs are much better, and so I'm psyched and I'm going to go. And so, yeah, I don't know, Anne, any closing words for today's quick and short episode, or do we just shut it down?
I think on the count of three, we both just scream, and that's going to be the ending.
Do we scream on three or one, two, three, and then scream?
One, two, three, scream. One, two, three.
Two, three.